Motivation and Personality. Author, Abraham H. Maslow. People seek for as many different kinds of satisfaction in scientific work as they do in their social lives, in their jobs, or in their marriages. There is something in science for all, old and young, bold and timid. Some seek in it immediately in humanistic ends. Others find delight precisely in its impersonal, non-human qualities. Science is based on human values and is itself a value system. Human emotional, cognitive, expressive, and aesthetic needs give science its origins and goals. The gratification of any human need is a value. Preface to Motivation Theory. The weight of evidence seems to indicate that the only sound and fundamental basis of classification of motivational life is at the fundamental goals or needs, rather than on any listing of drives in the ordinary sense of. Certainly, motivated behavior is not a good basis for classification, since we have seen that it may express many things. The specific goal object is not a good basis for classification for the same reason. The theory of human motivation. This theory is in the functionalist tradition of James and Dewey, and is fused with the holism of Wertheimer, Goldstein, and Gestalt psychology, and with the dynamicism of Freud, Fromm, Homi, Reich, Jung, and Adler. This integration or synthesis may be called a holistic dynamic theory. The basic needs, the physiological needs. The needs that are usually taken as the starting point for motivation theory are the so-called physiological drives. Two recent lines of research make it necessary to revise our customary notions about these needs. First, the development of the concept of homeostasis, and the second, the finding that appetites, preferential choices among foods, are a fairly efficient indication of actual needs or lacks in the body. Homeostasis refers to the body's automatic efforts to maintain a constant, normal state of the bloodstream. If the body lacks some chemical, the individual tends to develop a specific appetite or partial hunger for that missing food element. We cannot identify all the physiological needs as homeostatic. Furthermore, if all the needs are unsatisfied and the organism is then dominated by the physiological needs, all other needs may become simply non-existent or be pushed into the background. The safety needs. If the physiological needs are relatively well gratified, there then emerges a new set of needs, which we may categorize roughly as the safety needs. The organism may equally be wholly dominated by them. They may serve as the almost exclusive organizers of behavior, recruiting all the capacities of the organism in their service, and we may then fairly describe the whole organism as a safety-seeking mechanism. The peaceful, smoothly running, stable society ordinarily makes its members feel safe enough from wild animals, extremes of temperature, criminal assault, murder, chaos, tyranny, and so on. We can perceive the expressions of safety needs only in such phenomena as, for instance, the common preference for a job with tenure and protection, the desire for a savings account, and for insurance of various kinds. The belongingness and love needs. If both the physiological and the safety needs are fairly well gratified, there will then emerge the love and affection belongingness needs. Some proportion of youth rebellion groups are motivated by the profound hunger for contact and togetherness in the face of a common enemy that can serve to form an amity group simply by posing an external threat. One thing that must be stressed at this point is that love is not synonymous with sex. Sex may be studied as a purely physiological need. The esteem needs. All people in our society, with a few pathological exceptions, have a need or desire for a stable, firmly based, usually high evaluation of themselves, for self-respect, self-esteem, and the esteem of others. These needs may be classified into two subsidiary sets. Satisfaction of the self-esteem need leads to the feelings of self-confidence, worth, strength, capability, and adequacy, of being useful and necessary in the world. The need for self-actualization. It refers to man's desire for self-fulfillment and tendency to become actualized in what he is capable of. This tendency might be phrased as the desire to become more and more what one idiosyncratically is, to become everything that one is capable of becoming. Degrees of relative satisfaction. Theoretical discussion gives the impression that if one need is satisfied, then another emerges, which might lead to the conclusion that a need must be satisfied 100% before the next need emerges. In fact, most members of our society are partially satisfied in all their basic needs, and partially unsatisfied in all their basic needs at the same time. Multiple motivations of behavior. These needs must be understood not to be exclusive or single determiners of certain kinds of behavior. Most behavior is overdetermined or multi-motivated. Within the sphere of motivational determinants, any behavior tends to be determined by several or all of the basic needs simultaneously, rather than by only one of them. Multiple determinants of behavior. There is a basic difference between expressive behavior and coping behavior, functional striving, purposive goal-seeking. Also, the style in which a man carries out almost all his behavior, motivated as well as unmotivated, is often expressive. Rote, habitual, automatized, or conventional behavior may or may not be expressive. The same is true for most stimulus-bound behaviors. Motivation and the theory of psychopathogenesis. Conscious desires are considered symptoms or surface indicators of more basic needs. If we were to take these superficial desires at their face value, we would find ourselves in a state of complete confusion that could never be resolved, since we would be dealing seriously with symptoms rather than that with what lay behind the symptoms. Thwarting of unimportant desires produces no psychopathological results. Thwarting of basically important needs does produce such results. The role of gratified needs. Gratification has an important role in motivation theory. Apart from this, however, needs cease to play an active determining or organizing role as soon as they are gratified. If we are interested in what actually motivates us, and not in what has, will, or might motivate us, then a satisfied need is not a motivator. It is considerations such as these that suggest the bold postulation that a man who is thwarted in any of his basic needs may be fairly envisaged simply as a sick man, or at least less than fully human. Functional autonomy. Character structure is thought to be the most important single instance of functional autonomy in psychology. It is the strong, healthy, autonomous person who is the most capable of withstanding loss of love and popularity. But this strength and health have been ordinarily produced in our society by early chronic gratifications of safety, love, belongingness, and esteem needs. The expressive component of behavior. The expressive behavior of the type so far discussed by psychologists is generally unmotivated, although of course it is determined. It simply mirrors, reflects, signifies, or expresses some state of organism. These are non-purposive. The healthy person is not only expressive. He must be able to be expressive when he wishes to be. He must be able to let himself go. The healthy or self-actualizing person is essentially versatile. He has lost fewer of the human capacities than the average man has. Self-actualizing people. The effects of wish, desire, prejudice upon perception, as in many recent experiments, should be very much less in healthy people than in the sick. A priori considerations encourage the hypothesis that this superiority in the perception of reality eventuates in a superior ability to reason, perceive the truth, come to conclusions, and be logical and cognitively efficient in general. The self-actualized person sees reality more clearly. Our subjects see human nature as it is and not as they would prefer it to be. A firm foundation for a value system is automatically furnished to the self-actualizer by his philosophic acceptance of the nature of his self, human nature, social life, and nature and physical reality. Psychotherapy, health, and motivated. As a result of successful psychotherapy, people perceive differently, think differently, and learn differently. Their motives and emotions change. Their interpersonal relations and attitudes towards society transform. Their characters change both superficially and profoundly. There is even some evidence that their appearance changes, physical health improve, etc. In some cases, even the IQ goes up. Finally, the only way we know now to prevent the distortion of our perception of nature, society, ourselves, by human values, is to be very conscious of these values at all times, to understand their influence on perception, and make the necessary corrections in the light of this understanding.